Call to the booth. It's our NFC divisional show. We got Packers, Rams, Saints, Bucks. We got Devontae talking about that matchup with Jalen. Paul, let's do it.
You know, Akib, I'm looking forward to this weekend. You know, there is some belief that this is actually the best weekend of football for NFL viewers because you still have games on Saturday and Sunday. Obviously, next weekend is just one day of games. It's a championship round. But for the viewer, this is probably the most exciting weekend of NFL football because you get both days back-to-back of great, great NFL right. entertainment.
Definitely. Sure you would agree. I can agree with that just because, like you said, it's two great games Saturday, two great games Sunday. The matchups is probably – it's supposed to be, you know what I'm saying, the best four teams on this side, best four teams on this side. And usually it is. In my opinion, it is right now on both sides. So you can't ask as a football fan, as a football watcher, you can't ask for more than a weekend like that.
You can't ask for more than that, as you said. And I am very excited, very excited for the Devontae Adams, Jalen Ramsey. Hopefully Jalen shadows him. That is going to be a great matchup. And we talked to Devontae Adams about that. So stay tuned for the second portion of this show so you can hear our interview with Devontae Adams. But before we do that, I don't know if – have you seen that graphic with the History Channel showing a picture of Tom Brady at like age 60 and like Drew Brees at like age. Have you seen that one yet?
No.
Oh, we got, I gotta pull it up for you. You gotta see it. But here we go. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are +3 at the New Orleans Saints. The 51.5 over under. We've talked about this game before and we broke down the New Orleans Saints once they were confirmed to make the playoffs. And you said that the Bucs were one of the team that they do not want to see. Are right. you standing firm with that belief?
I'm standing firm, Harrison, because it's – correct me if I'm wrong, Paul. The Saints is 2-0 against the Bucs this year, right?
That is correct.
Now, it's just hard to beat a team three times in a row. You know what I'm saying? The same season. And that's just a hard task. And on top of that, the Bucs is starting to hit that stride. They're starting to be the confident winning team. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm standing on that. I'm riding with the Bucs and – they get the points too. So I'm definitely riding with the Bucs with the points. I think it's going to be an offensive, nice little offensive battle. Both teams will end up in them 20. So I'm going with the over. It's going to touch over 51. Riding with the Bucs and the over, man, just because it's so hard to beat somebody three times in a row. And that's why I say the Bucs is the most dangerous team for the Saints because y'all already beat them twice. It's a tough task beating them three straight times in a row, man, especially somebody like Tom Brady. You know what I'm saying? So, Bucs +3 over 51.
Now, here's the interesting thing when you look at that.
Oh, God.
There we go.
Yes, sir. That's real. That's hard right there, man. That's yes, hard.
But now you say the Bucs are going to win, but we've done A-plus matchups all year.
Right.
And we've seen what Marshawn Lattimore has done to Mike Evans. Right. I assume you think this is going to be an Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, Cameron Brate, Rob Gronkowski type of game because we also know the Saints' rush defense is elite. So how do you think this matchup looks?
I honestly think the run game is fair for Tampa. They don't just go off on the ground. They don't just have a dead day on the ground. It's fair, 70-80 from Fournette. But I think it's AB. It's the other guys. Marshawn going to do what he do. I think whoever they decide to put Marshawn on, it might not be Evans. You know what I'm saying? Whoever they decide to put Marshawn on, however they decide to game plan it, whoever Marshawn going to be on, he going to do his thing. You know what I'm saying? They going to be quiet. They might have a couple catches. They ain't going to score. He going to pretty much have them under control. He healthy right now. That's what he do. But it's too many weapons in Tampa, man. You got Godwin, you got AB, you got Gronk, you got Brate. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's going to be them other guys. It's going to be nobody probably go off of 200 and two tubs or nothing. It's going to be spread out just like Tom Brady do. 80 yards here in the tub, 50 in the tub, 90 yards, no tubs, 40, and you know what I'm saying? Just think it's going to be a fair day. Tom going to face that defense for the third time. He going to come out. He going to come out with great. And Tom going to be the one who you want to have on your team if you had anybody as far as how many points they're scoring fantasy or whatever. Tom going to be the one spreading the ball out, you know what I'm saying, being productive, and it's going to come out good.
So here's the little wrinkle. Here's the little wrinkle to those previous two matchups. Michael Thomas, as we saw, is back, relatively at least. His appearance, his ability to get on the field, does that change what maybe you think might happen in that matchup? Because Michael Thomas obviously had that high ankle sprain, and it really hampered the Saints relatively in the passing game.
Right.
In addition to Drew Brees being missing out some of these games in the during the regular season, the addition of Michael Thomas, what does that mean for this matchup?
I mean, it put the Saints back to regular a little bit, but Mike Thomas still ain't regular though. You know what I'm saying? He's still the ankle's still there. He's still at treatment today. He went to treatment today for show. You know what I'm saying? If you're still going to treatment for it, it's still not all the way there. You know what I'm saying? So he Mike Thomas, but he not all the way A-plus Mike Thomas. You know what I'm saying? So of course he make the Saints more the regular Saints, but I don't think it had nothing to do with the Saints. Like I say, I always talk about this being the momentum game, right? And that's just how the momentum go. You know what I'm saying? When you take two guys who both even, basically, he whoop on him, then he whoop on him again. It's just his mind frame is just going to be turned up a little bit more. They're going to have the emotional advantage. You know what I'm saying? And that emotional advantage be so much in football. So I don't even think it's going to have nothing to do with the Saints, with Mike Thomas. I think it's just going to be that emotion that these guys getting the 50-50 balls. And these guys is just, you know, they just winning them extra 50-50 plays.
So let's look at a prop bet real quick. Michael Thomas, 79.5 receiving yards. Over.
Over. He'll be in the 80s. He'll be in the 90s. Because, I mean, he's going to get targets. It's everything on the line. Drew Brees going to go up what he know. He's going to throw the ball to Mike Thomas, and he's going to be able to because the Bucs are going to play some man. They're going to play some off man, and he'll have some opportunities. They're going to play some zone. He'll have some opportunities where Drew get him some quick passes, let him run, but I don't think they're going to let him go up top. He don't go up top that much. They're just going to make sure they tackle. They're talking about it right now in the meetings. If he catch the ball, we just got to tackle him. You know what I'm saying? So he going to be able to catch the ball and get some 12s, man. He going to catch a couple, break a tackle and get 20. So I'll put him over to 80. I'll put him over to 80 yards.
I know this weekend it was your son's birthday.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Nickelodeon broadcast of this?
I didn't. I heard a lot about it, too. I heard a lot about it on Twitter. Heard a lot about it on IG, stuff like that. But I didn't watch it. It's cool, though. I'm sure it. My son's 7 and my other nephew 8. I bet you they'll watch the game, though. If it was like that, they'd just be so amazed by all the stuff going on. That'll make them watch football, man. So that's, hey, Nickelodeon, look. They know what they're doing.
There you go. I might want to see you on a Nickelodeon broadcast. It'd be very interesting.
I know, right?
The one thing, though.
I need to watch it and see and hear Nate. You know what I'm saying? I need to watch it and hear how Nate did because Nate had the broadcast, right?
Yeah, it was Nate and I think Noah Eagle were two of the guys.
I want to watch it and see how they called it on a Nickelodeon vibe. So, I think but you know me, Harrison, though. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, we got
to. Put my mind to it. I can do it.
There you go. Exactly. Speaking of which, I don't know if this game will have a Nickelodeon broadcast, but again, this is a game that we're excited to watch. And we talked to Devontae Adams about it, which you'll hear in a moment. The Rams are +7 at the Packers, 46 over under. Paul, before we even dig into that game, what's the latest injury update with Jared Goff? Has Sean McVay named him the starter yet? I don't believe so, correct?
I've not seen an official word.
But Wall Street, he got a neck issue, don't he? Right? Yeah, he's out with that neck, so I can't imagine how Jared came in, how JG came in and played. He ain't throw the ball bad. You know what I'm saying? And now he'll be 7 days, 7 days healthier. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think there's no way that JG don't start this game.
Yeah. So one would assume so. Maybe some gamesmanship while he hasn't been named. Yeah. The official
saying, the official update yesterday, neck stinger day to day. but I think we'd have to assume Goff is probably starting.
What's the update on Aaron Donald? That's the key to victory right there. If AD there and the Rams plus seven, I'm going Rams with the points all day, because it's a slogan that say defense win championships for a reason. You know what I'm saying? And if you get a best defense in the league, 7 points, and you give them a nice little healthy Acres, big whip back, we're going to run the rock and play D. I'm riding with that all day. You know what I'm saying? I'm riding with that. So, but AD got to be in there. AD is the quarterback of that defense, man. He the momentum setter. You know what I'm saying? So, AD got to be in there. If AD there, I'm riding with the Rams. If no AD, I'm riding with the Packers. I don't care how many points.
Expected to play.
There we go. Expected to play. If you are Brandon Staley, defensive coordinator, the guy who you put on the no-fly zone for defensive coordinator of the year, how are you approaching the matchup between potentially Jalen Ramsey or Davante Adams? Do you even introduce shadowing that matchup? How do you suggest guarding Davante Adams if you're Brandon Staley?
Well, know, Brandon, they got that nice little match three they got going right there. And so in that match three, they kind of put Jalen in the boundary and they kind of, push all the help to the field. So Jalen kind of be, in a sense, be playing cover three with a little help in the inside, but he be on the backside by himself. You know what I'm saying? So I would almost mix that in. Of course, that's my standard right there. A lot more teams in the NFL going to be running that, by the way, like once they really get their hands on what they're doing. But I don't know. I don't know if I might put Darius, because Darius super quick. His movement, when I played with Darius, the one thing that stood out to me was like his movement. I'm like, bro, you move crazy. You know what I'm saying? So I might put Darius on Davante with the help. Safety, you over the top of him. Darius, you use that quickness and try to stay with him as much as you can. You could kind of like low key play underneath. And then I'm going to use my dog to go with Valdez, Scantlin, whoever their number two is.
Or Lazard.
Yeah, Lazard. Yeah. Lazard, that's who I'm going to use Jalen for. Jalen, you don't got no help. You on a number two guy, go do what you do. So I just think, for Davante, man, I want somebody short, quick guarding him, and then I want somebody waiting for him if he beat them over the top. You know what I'm saying? So then not saying Jalen can't guard him. You could easily do it regular and put Jalen on him. I just think that'd be a nice little wrinkle. That'd be a nice little wrinkle, something that they probably not expecting. You know what I'm saying? That's how I run it.
The one person that they would also have to pay attention to, Robert Tonyan. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers had a great connection with him all year. I believe it's Leonard Floyd who could potentially keep up with him. We've seen Leonard Floyd play well this year. I think when he had Rob Gronkowski on a Monday Night Football game. How would you approach Robert Tonyan? Because it seems that's Aaron Rodgers' secondary target when it comes to throwing in the end zone.
That's tight end, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got JJ, man. I got a great cover safety, who really like a corner. You know what I'm saying? So I like my matchup there. I like my matchup. If it's a man type of game, which I think it would be with Aaron Rodgers, it'd probably be a man type of game, because any little short catch and run or he going to zone. He going to take advantage of that. He's too smart. You know what I'm saying? And they offensive coordinator too smart. So I think it'll turn to a man type of game. And you can't double everybody, right? So some people you just gotta like your matchup. And with JJ, with John Johnson, I like my matchup with him. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to just roll the dice. I'm going to put JJ on him. I'm going to let him do what he do.
So I was thinking about introducing this idea earlier in the season, maybe like 3-4 weeks ago, but now I think we're here. If the Rams pull this off, coming off of beating the Seattle Seahawks, considering the injuries or the lack of reliability of the quarterback position because of the injuries and Jared Goff not being 100%, they might be. You would be the official judge on this. They might be approaching no fly zone territory. True or false?
If they win this game.
Obviously they got to win the whole thing to really cement it. Yeah. But they're creeping up there, I would assume.
Yeah.
You don't want to give it to them.
Nah, they creeping, but we was just different, man. You know what I'm saying? As far as everything, man, just how we carried ourselves as a team. You know what I'm saying? You can't name yourself a team. If I ain't saying they not a team, you know what I'm saying? And then COVID, we don't know. They could have been chilling together every day and not just showing it because of COVID. Like, you know what I'm saying? But just due to this times and them times, like when you saw one of us, you pretty much saw all of us, you know what I'm saying? At all times. And that had a lot to do with No Fly too, just our camaraderie, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if that's ever going to be matched. I don't know if that camaraderie ever going to be matched. You know what I'm saying? But first and foremost, you can't be the No Fly Zone without No Chip. So
until
first, first they got to win the chip, and then we could have this on the show.
Fair enough. They are creeping though. That is to be acknowledged.
They got good numbers.
And then finally, when we looked at the Green Bay Packers, remember when we were doing our playoff superlatives, we identified their weakness. It was rush defense. Cam Akers. Over under here, 72.5 rushing yards.
Over.
And that's because?
That's just because he healthy right now. They line is more in sync. They just added Big Whit back to the line. And he going to get the carries. He going to have the carries because Sean McVay know how to get to the chip. He got to run his ball. And that he know what make his offense go. And his if they getting good movement up front, that's going to make his offense go. So he been here before and got away from what he wanted to do. So he ain't going to get away from what he want to do today. This weekend, he ain't going to get away from it. He going to have 20 carries. So better have 70 yards with 20 carries.
Cam Akers, if he does keep the ball in his hands, it keeps the ball potentially away from Devontae Adams. That's who we spoke to. And that interview is coming up next. We break down that big time matchup between the Packers and the Rams with Devontae Adams, all pro, probably a Hall of Famer too. We'll be right back with more Call to the Booth. Support for Call to the Booth is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. And big news from Manscaped, they just released their new cologne scent to help you feel good and smell good all over at all times.
Now, who knew smelling good could actually feel this good? Man, and Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. So don't get lost in the shuffle. Don't have bad below the waist hygiene. Join the movement, Manscaped.
And that 2 million people that approve it, the men, I'm sure the women approve it as well too. It comes into a nice great package. We've talked about on Manscaped before on the show with the Perfect Package 3.0. It comes with the trimmer, comes with the ball wipes. I mean, it has literally everything you need, and then you just throw on some cologne and you really have everything that you need in order to how would you say this, to keep being playoff mode,
just to be ready for the game. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what's gonna happen in the game, but you want to be ready for that game, right? You know what I'm saying? You don't want the female to not feel your vibe because of your smell. You know what I'm saying? So we could check that box with Manscaped. And I'm not really a cologne type of wearer, right? So I got my pack from Manscaped. You know what I'm saying? I bust it open, laugh at the ball wipes. Listen, you know what I'm saying? I spray the cologne just to check it out. I'm like, oh, it smells cool. About like 45 minutes, you know what I'm saying? Wifey came in and, you know, I'm like, what's up, baby? She's like, what's that? Where you been? And I'm like, what, baby, what? And she like, man, the cologne, I said, what you got on cologne? I said, smell good. She said, yeah, smell good. So look, she think I was about to go do something or coming from somewhere. That's the vibe, the smell gave her, you know what I'm saying? So y'all better get on board with it, man. It's the truth.
These personal stories are the best. You know what to do. Go to get your 20% off with free shipping with the code NOFLYZONE at manscaped.com. One more time again. That's 20% off with free shipping with the code NOFLYZONE at manscaped.com. Look good, smell good, feel good with Manscaped.
Call to the booth. We got my dog Devontae Adams on here, man. I'm lightweight hot at my boy, man. First year rookie fantasy football player. He murked me out. I don't know what he dropped. He know what he dropped. You know what you did, Devontae. You know what I'm saying? Congrats on the dope ass season though, my boy. What's up with it?
Appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you having me. Yeah, it's been a Definitely been an eventful season. Started off hot. Started off that first game hot. Ran into a little injury trouble and had a little scare. It was nothing too crazy, but do like me, I don't want to miss no time. So if I got to sit out any game, you know, I'm gonna be hot about that. But we came right back to it and pick up what we left off.
What you missed this year? Like two games?
Two and a half games, because I left like right after halftime in the Detroit game, and then I missed the next two, which was both primetime games that I was hot about, Saints and then the Falcons at home. So, I missed 2.5 this year. So, it's just, you know, obviously we can reflect and be happy about what we did, but I'd be like,
got to be happy about that.
I wonder what would have happened if I had them extra 2.5, you know?
It might have been the record, you feel me? Because look, would you say this was your best one so far?
This is my most complete one. I think anytime you play, you miss 2.5 games in a season, and, you know, you could still almost touch 20 tugs. And I had some higher goals, obviously, had I stayed healthy at the beginning. As far as yards wise, I wanted to just average 100 for, you know, get touch at least 16. That was my goal coming in. I wanted to hit 16.
Yeah.
And then figure out where we're going from there. But it's definitely been a complete one. I feel like I was able to do a lot of showcase the run after catch and all of that this year.
Hell yeah. Just so from the outside looking in, you know, I face young Devontae, right? Mm-hmm. So then when they asked me my top receivers, I used to go off young Devontae, right? I'm like, man, he was cool, but he was quick. But now, my boy, I'm telling you, from the outside looking in, OG Devontae, hey, ain't no buts, fam. You him. You feel me?
Appreciate it, bro.
You him, fam. You got it. I got like three of y'all. DK like a baby. Once DK get year 4, year 5, he going to be a fool.
No, it's going to be trouble.
Step, man, I'm telling you. But definitely, bro, from outside looking in, fam, this was your one this year. Hey, crazy.
Nah, I feel like I got more comfortable. And then, you know, me and A-Rod connection just continue to get better and better each year on top of me getting better individually. And obviously, he the GOAT, so he going to keep elevating too. So,
Hell yeah.
It's just a recipe for just both of us getting off as much as we, you know, we really control what we do out there. I feel like a lot of people go on the field and they'll tell you that they, you know, depending on who they're playing, that they might get off or whatever the corner's looking like. I don't look at none of that at this point in my career. They ask me about DBs, and I'd be like, look, man, I don't want to sound like that because I don't want to be that guy. But, you know,
But you got to sound like that. That's part of our job.
Select ones, like, it was dudes like you that, you know what I mean, like the Xavier Howard, the, you know what I'm saying, Jalen Ramsey's, Jair Alexander, and he don't get as much you know, respect as what he should, but those type of dudes is the ones you really got to worry about. And then the rest, to me, I mean, it's a lot of guys too. I don't want to disrespect nobody because it's guys that I respect, but, you know, as far as the top tier, it's that. And then after that, I'm not really worried about who I'm going against for real.
Exactly. Did you think the coach help you crank them numbers up like that? Is it the system a little bit? Because I know that system, you know what I'm saying? It's a Rams type system, man. Yeah. Shit, it's a big play over route. See, like, it opens shit up for you, you know what I'm saying? So, you think that played a part, though, with them numbers?
Yeah, I think it helped. But, I mean, the type of receiver that I am, I feel like I built my name and built, like, the type of player that I am based off of just being on the island. Like, my releases and all that stuff, I feel like I wouldn't have been able to advance my one-on-one game just being in a booth with somebody the way that I have had I been in this office my whole career, because it's so much based off time and you can't really spend too much time.
Hell yeah.
Like, you know, it's just like, bam, bam, quarterback coming here. He going to fake. He going to turn, look to that fake spot, boom. Fire.
You got
to
be there.
Like, you got to be there.
Hell
so,
yeah.
You know, it's just a lot more, which is good now because I got the tools. And then to be able to just fine tune it and make it more simple, you know, speeding up my releases and stuff like that, just to be more efficient, it's still working. I'm able to get open. But as a young buck, I think it would have been harder with the way that I used to, you know, get off the line. It was a lot of finesse coming off like how Stevie was. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then A-Rod used to be like, and then he'd finally see me. And,
but he liked that, though. I feel like A-Rod ain't really wanted to throw nothing on Tom back in the day. He kind of wanted to let y'all, you know what I'm saying, let him move around a little bit, then I'm going to get it
low
in
key,
there.
So. Lucky. But, yeah. He ain't trying to be waiting on me to the point where he might get hit. And I think he had a couple of those early in my career. But
I feel that, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Devontae. Yeah, I got you. Devontae, so we've heard about Aaron Rodgers and how his leadership skills sometimes could be seen differently from the inside or from the outside. Have you seen a difference in him from a leadership standpoint this year? Obviously, you guys are playing at another level. You guys are playing really well, the number one seed. Obviously, guys are just different, their leadership styles. But have you seen anything differently this year that might have led to your success so far this season?
Not for real, honestly. It's been a weird year just with COVID and everything. So I think just his temperament been different because we ain't had a OTA's time. So we kind of all came in loving up on each other, you know, trying to make up for lost time in that regard. But I haven't really seen nothing too crazy as far as like him trying to prove anybody wrong. Plus, I mean, one of my favorite competitors, athletes, you know, idols growing up is Michael Jordan. And I think we all saw the Last Dance and how some mm-hmm. of that stuff gets perceived. And, you know, I just think that certain people who did talk down on him or say he wasn't a great leader, they weren't built for, you know, that type of just realness, I guess you could say. And, you know, I had from AAU coaches to Pop Warner my whole life, right. I always had coaches and players around me that was tough on me, you know. So I never looked at anything like, you know, he's not a good leader just because of whatever it was. So I seen like it's been a lot of the same, just with more positivity. And, you know, we've been flowing and having a good season. So I think it's been good for him to stay positive.
And then another one to that, you mentioned COVID as well. We've seen what's happening with the Cleveland Browns because of a COVID positive test. They won't have their head coach. They won't have Kevin Stefanski for the game on Sunday. How much caution are you putting into what you're doing on a daily basis when you're not in the facility? Because as we've seen, the NFL is not going to postpone a playoff game, particularly for a potential COVID absence.
Me and the rest of my team, I mean, it's easy. We in Green Bay. So, I mean, what you going to do anyway? You might as well be at the house with your family, chilling, tucked off, watching football. You know what I mean? That's really my plan. Just kicking it. We got the bye week, so I'm just taking advantage of that, getting my rehab in. And then, I mean, I'm already a homebody for, especially during the season. So at this point, it's not really too hard for me to just kind of stay locked in and tapped into what I'm doing and just spending time with my little girl, my wife, and maybe a teammate or two. But other than that, it ain't really worth it at this point. We got, you know, you lose a game, that's when your offseason kick in right there. So then you can do all the hanging out, everything you got to do. And we got a good thing going with the Packers right now. So I think everybody's tapped into that and making sure that they being smart and not doing nothing that could put the team in jeopardy.
One more follow-up to that too as well. Obviously it's a commitment that you have to make. And I think most people who watch the NFL understand that or follow the NFL understand that. But being COVID safe is not just you, it's also your family and your teammates' families. Can you elaborate on how difficult that challenge is, not just for you as a player, but, you know, family members who have to kind of curtail their lives to make sure it doesn't get into their household and then obviously could trickle down to the team?
Yeah, it's been tough, man. I mean, 90% of why you do this is for your people and everybody experience it with you. So for us to be in a spot where we can't, I mean, as Packers, we haven't had any fans at home, you know, as far as family. We had like three games at home that we've had fans at all. And it was like just the Packers, you know, the people that worked for at Lambeau Field, they came in and I guess they had a couple tickets or whatever. So it was a real small crowd. So, I mean, it's been weird because obviously part of the reason why you like to do it is to have your family come out, see them on the road, go eat at nice restaurants and all type of stuff like that. I mean, that's what I'm looking forward to when we travel. I want to go to Ruth's Chris. I want to go.
Yeah.
Del Frisco's, all that type of stuff. So to not be able to do that, it slow you down a little bit. But, I mean, it is what it is. We knew what we was getting into really with the season. They outlined it and mapped it out for us. So, I mean, it ain't the best, but we're doing what we got to do to be able to get through it.
What's the positives, real quick, Harrison? What's the positives with the COVID? Like, I ain't never played in this situation, so shit, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
You know the negatives are like the team vibe. Teams came. We had DB dinners every Tuesday, and you know what I'm saying? We had casino mm-hmm. night on Thursday. So then the negatives, you know what I'm saying? You can't vibe like you a regularly vibe. What's the positives with the COVID shit, though?
The positive probably have to be, I mean, as much as it sucks having no fans for us on offense, I think for the defense, yeah. it's been hard for the defense because y'all feed
we off stand on that.
Right, yeah. You need that. Like them third downs, like so you go knock a pass down. I've even noticed that dudes come through and knock a pass down And it's just kind of like whatever, like a practice rep to them. They're not getting juiced up, fired up on the sideline and stuff. So we can feed off that on offense. It's no crowd noise. So when we on the road, it's not really, we're not dealing with a whole bunch of home field advantage for them, you know. So we can communicate too. So A-Rod probably used half of the signals that we do. I mean, you done played against A-Rod a few times, so you know how we get out there. He look out, see what the coverage is. And also we can hear y'all communicate too. And 12 so smart. You might look at the safety and change.
We just told him. Said, we just told him what coverage we was in.
Right. And now you said it. Now he heard you, and you say it again later in the game. Now he make a check, and we got a cover two beater now. You know what I'm saying? And then we can now have an explosive where y'all was trying to disguise or whatever. So it's been good with our communication on offense. I feel like we use more verbals now, which keep our signals off tape, and it take the juice away from the defense a little bit more. I've noticed.
That's real. That's what I was thinking you was going to say. Something that, you know, get y'all the advantage on Sunday type shit. So, yeah, that's what I expected, though.
Yep. Akeem, before we get to Devontae's divisional playoff game, before the show, I shared with him the no-fly zone awards. So, if you could go into – we won't go into the pass rushers, but if you can just go into the guys who are in the secondary, and then, Devontae, if you want to have your response to that, because obviously they're – there's an omission that some people might have not felt.
Yeah, they don't be agreeing with my shit like that. You feel me? But okay. I went Xavier Howard, of course. Man, he following around number one receivers week in, week out. He give up 600 yards, four tubs. I mean, that's bad that ain't never bad, but that's okay if you know, just a regular corner. But he following around you. He following around the big name guys, you know what I'm saying? So if you come out like that and on top of that, you come out with 10 picks. Oh, you definitely first team. So then, I feel like 9 or 10 picks. It's so hard to get 9 or 10 picks in one season. If you do that, I'm automatically putting you on my list. You know what I'm saying? So then I go J.C. Jackson. He 9 picks. Again, he gave up close to 600, 500 and something in like 5 tubs. But he matching up too. You matching up. You getting number 2 receivers. Gilmore handled the number 1 receivers, and you got 9 picks. So out the gate, 9 picks, 10 picks, they on there. So then you had guys who had real, real strapping seasons, like Jair. Jair gave up 300 yards, 2 tubs. Like, that's all pro caliber numbers. You feel me?
But then
Ramsey give up 300 yards and 3 touchdowns or 2 touchdowns or something like that. So I had to pick one out of the strap. You either have a nice pick year or you have a big strap year. I had to pick one out of the big strap years, man. I just went with Randy. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not mad at that, bro. I told you how I feel about Jair, and he don't get enough respect. But based off what you just said, I mean, I hope that like shit like this need to get broadcasted more for more people, bro. Because
that's why I'm here.
You come through to say today, because I mean, I dealt with it my whole career as far as wideout play, but like obviously, just if you know wideout play real well, I feel like you should know corner and DB play. So for you to say that, that's big, because people got to know the difference between a high pick season and a high strap season.
People ain't really
trying you like that, man. You know,
and Jair had a major high strap. You give up 300 yards, bro, and 2 touchdowns. That's like first team all pro numbers. When I made first team all pro, that was my numbers.
He played half the season. That boy been out there the whole year, you know,
following number ones too.
Right, exactly.
Following number ones, you know what I'm saying? The majority of the time, you know what I'm saying? So he definitely, if I could have picked one more, it definitely was Jair. I had to, you know, juggle him and Ramsey. I felt like Ramsey could move around a little bit more. He could get in the slot, you know what I'm saying? You tackle a little bit more.
That boy just went with Ramsey. That's the difference for me.
That boy tackle. Yeah, he do.
Yeah, he the
That's what I like about Ramsey game, bro. So talk about the DBs, you know what I'm saying? We get into it. Who you like? Who you know? I got to have my shit. I got to have my best Nikes on. You know what I'm saying? He going to follow me around. I better be on my shit today. Who is them? Give me. We ain't going to leave it to one. And so we'll say the top, your top 3 in the league right now. Who you respect? You know what I'm saying? They tip your hat off to them boys.
Well, you said 2 of them. I think the way Xavier been playing, I've been talking about him since 2017. We played them. They came up to Green Bay. I didn't have a great game. Because we was running the ball a lot. It was like whatever. We wasn't really getting a whole lot of just one-on-one matchups too. But I could tell.
Did he follow you?
He was playing. Yeah, he was following me. So I was like, I only ended the game with maybe like 60 or something like that. But it wasn't really like a pass-heavy game. It was later in the year. But I have respect for him. I said he could play. And I didn't play Ramsey. My last rep against Ramsey was in the Pro Bowl. Actually, I ran a stutter go on him the first rep and caught a deep one on him. But, so I was on him about that. But and the only other time I played him was his very first game in the NFL. And he was in the slot. He wasn't really who he is now.
Yeah, he wasn't Ramsey yet.
Nah, but he was still like, that boy was a big boy. That's one thing. When I saw him in person, like I seen him in the draft and all of that. But when I saw him in person, I was like, this dude is kind of big, bro. Like, this is a big dude.
Big. And bro can run, though.
Can run, can move. He rangy. Like, you know, he reminded me a lot of Sherman as far as, like, the way that they move. It's just, like, the big turnover strides like that.
Hell yeah.
But, yeah, Ramsey, him and Xavier are probably the top two. And only thing, I'm not mad at Jackson, but I'm going to have to throw Jair in there just because I go against him every day.
Right.
I got a whole different respect for Jair than I do a lot of other guys. That's good because I get to see how he go about his shit every day. Like, he's so tapped in the DB play. He be in his own world half the time, headphones on. Like, he got a different focus and just, like, attention to detail to DB play than anybody that I've seen come through, especially at that young age. Like,
he
tapped into it like Tremont was, like Tremont Williams, like just that type of mental. I'll never forget. I beat him on, like, I think it was stutter go, his first practice with the Packers. He came in, I beat him, and then, I mean, and I beat everybody in one-on-ones. Like, bro, I got clips on clips, so it's not even a big deal to me. Like, I'm not, like boosted up. I'm not showing nothing. And then we get in the locker room. This boy still got all his pads on. He pulling his iPad out, watching one-on-ones, just trying to
He want to see that rep right there.
He want to see it. So
hey, he called me up. Like, he said, me, bro. Look, I swear to God.
He came over to me with his iPad, like, bro, look, I'm not trying to bother you, bro, but, like, what is it that – what was it? What made you basically do what you did to be able to get me like that? Like, it's bothering – I could see it was eating away at his core. So I was like, he different, bro, because – most dudes would be like, well, that's Davante Adams. You know, he already established vet. I'm a young dude coming in. Like, he's supposed to be able to win that. But it bothered him. So for me to see that, you know, most dudes just shrug it off. It is what it is. I'll say he's going to be special. So I probably have to get him the top three right now. And JC kind of like a
– he raw.
He kind of like a DK to me, how you say it with DK.
Yeah, he like, raw. Like, yes, I is. They just raw right now. They just in there. They don't even know. They just playing football. Yeah, I feel
like
even know.
He remind me of like Nelly on The Longest Yard. Like, he just out there just doing his thing. He just like, you know what I mean? so I respect him. And you, like I said, you get all them picks, bro. Like,
it's too hard, fam. I done had my hardest year. I done had a dog ass year.
Right.
Oop, I ain't make it through the whole season. I'm six picks. I only make it through 10 games though. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
just to you know how hard it is to play 16, first of all, and then you know, you put up 9-10 interceptions, man. That shit tough, bro.
It's that's tough, hard. You got to respect that. But I ain't played against him. I'm looking for it. I actually just talked to Ramsey yesterday. We was congratulating each other on the first team all pro. And I told that
hell boys, yeah.
Y'all get this win. And then Washington win. I think I could be wrong, but I think they come up to Lambeau. So I was like, shit, we're going to be able to get the people what they want. You, y'all take care of this business. So go out there and get that dub.
Hell yeah. That's what's up, dude. That's good. Y'all boys, like, I don't know if I ever had, because, you know, social media bigger in y'all time, but yeah. I don't know if I ever had no receiver. I'm reach out to Steve, like, hey, Steve, what's up, man? You know what I'm saying? Hey, y'all handle that business, man. We going to pull up for now, because social network. So I think that shit live, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, it make, I ain't no Xavier Howard. I think he balling. Boop, I could hit him right now, huh? Holler at me, bro. Woo, woo.
Right. So, right.
I think that shit live, though, man. That's something that crank our game up. That social media, that's how they crank our game up. It make us closer just from the story you just told.
And it's on some respect shit, too, because it's like, look, like I'm a secure in my game enough to know, like, I ain't got to flex my chest on you to, like, make you think I'm tough. Like, you're going to find out regardless when we get on that field, bro.
We're going to play it regardless. Exactly.
I don't care if you think, like, I didn't reach out to him, but, like, he reached out to me, but I would reach out to him because, like, it's – It ain't no bad blood, exactly. No nothing. Like, unless I literally don't like you, bro, then I'm not gonna have an issue with doing that type of shit.
Exactly. It's really a club, you know what I'm saying? You really check your DM and be like, oh shit, my dog done hit me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. We really get excited a little bit when we get to one another.
Exactly.
So, real shit. I think kudos to social network, Harrison, man. Crank up the NFL a little bit, man. Bring our brotherhood a little bit closer.
Right.
We're pretty much done. Before we go though, how do you stop Davante Adams?
You stop Davante Adams with a safety. You better, hey, hey, you better have some help, man. You and can't nobody stand on the line with him and press him one-on-one. If you play off, you actually get murdered. So, man, you better make it look like two men and hope he don't juke you from your trailer. You know what I'm saying? He do got the best quarterback in the game. It's going to be a tough – I think stopping him, we got to talk about what stopping him is. I think stopping him, if he got 80 yards, no tubs, okay, we stopped him. You know what I'm saying? So, you ain't going to do much better than that. You know what I'm saying? So, play man, give him a safety, baby. That's the only way to stop this man.
Devontae, I'll let you respond.
I mean, that's pretty accurate, man. I say anytime I leave out of the game with no tug, I feel stopped, but I still, at the end of the day, I'm judging off my tape, man. Like, you know, like I said, it's the most team sport it is. The line exactly. Gotta do their thing, A-Rod gotta do his thing. The you know, based off what the play is to the coverage, it's a whole lot of stuff that gotta go right. So what I'm trying to do is just have my tape look ridiculous, and then, you know, if that mean that the ball end up coming to me 10, 15 times and we end with a buck to two, then that's a good day for me.
Right. And then if you watch the tape and you playing a man coverage team and they safety on your hash all game, shit, you did what you supposed to do. It's a team game. You right. Took two, now somebody else gotta win. That's just how football go, you know what I'm saying? But hey, my boy, we appreciate it, man. Congrats on a great season, man. Number one seed, all pro, Pro Bowl, all that, man. In my eyes, this was your dopest project right here, honestly. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, good luck. Good luck in the tournament, bro. Finish that shit off, bro. I'm looking forward to it, man.
Appreciate it, bro. Yeah, we'll circle back around. Hopefully, when all this done, hopefully I get some hardware this year.
Yes, sir. That'll be a great interview.
Going dumb.
You already know, bro. Appreciate it. I love your game, bro. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks to Devontae Adams for joining us. It's going to be an exciting matchup the entire weekend. That was our NFC show. We got our AFC show coming right back up. Coming on Thursday, audio, Friday, video. You know what we do. Call to the booth. Akib, any last words?
Call to the booth, baby. Subscribe. Hit that little button. It's like right there somewhere. Hit that button, man. Call to the booth.